Tonight was the end of one chapter and the beginning of another. Tonight was the final episode of AEW Dynamite on TNT before moving to TBS. Next week, Rampage will still be on TNT, so they're still going to have a presence on the network, but this was the final Dynamite. This was the New Year's Smash 2021 edition of AEW Dynamite. Back at Daly's Place in Jacksonville, which was home, I think Excalibur tonight said something like 66 shows during the pandemic. A lot of them with very few, if any, people in the building. So it was kind of nice when they finally got out of Daly's Place. I have to say, though, them being back in the building tonight and the way they had it all set up, I thought Daly's Place actually looked great. Just visually on TV, being away now for a while. Because I got so sick of them doing shows in that building. It's like the Thunderdome. It's like I couldn't wait for them to get out. Them being back in there tonight, they had a packed crowd. They were loud. And just the way that it was shot, I thought it looked good. It was also the return of good old JR. Jim Ross is back. First time back in the booth since Thanksgiving Eve. That was his last episode before beginning radiation treatment for skin cancer, about 24 treatments. If you've been following him on Twitter, he's been cataloging each one. And he had his final treatment this morning. And not only did he have his final treatment, but he shared the good news that Jim Ross is cancer-free. So after these 20-plus radiation treatments, apparently he is free of the skin cancer, which is great news. That is the best gift that one could get for the holidays. Unfortunately, the news is not so good for another announcer, former TNA announcer, Don West. If you remember back in June, he made the announcement that he was diagnosed with brain lymphoma. And in September, he announced that he was in remission, which was great. It was cancer had gone into remission. He was doing better. And unfortunately, a few days ago, Jeff Jarrett shared the news that Don is back in the hospital with cancer. He didn't specify if it's the same. I assume it must be a recurrence of his previous cancer. But let's all send some positive vibes to Don West. I really grew to like Don West after, you know, his first few years as an announcer in TNA. I mean, I knew him from the Shop at Home stuff where he would sell baseball cards and all that stuff. But he really grew into the role. You know, he always had a smile on his face. He always had this energy about him, even back to, you know, being a pitchman before TNA. But he always had this energy, and it worked for him. You know, as a wrestling announcer, him and Mike Tenay together, they became a good combo, and I really enjoyed their work. So anyway, he's not doing too well. He's back in the hospital, and all the best to Don West. Hopefully he can kick out the way that Jim Ross did. Although I think his situation seems a little more serious, but sending all the best to him. Super chats are open. You can hit that thumbs up button. The little thumbs up icon, you can shove it right up my you-know-what. We had a giant number of views on the channel this month from recommendations on the YouTube sidebar, and a lot of that has to do with you liking the videos. So when you do that, it does help out the channel a lot, so I appreciate it. And before we get into tonight, because we got a lot to get into here, we don't just have the final Dynamite on TNT. Hey, Raging Girl Gamer just became a Sound Off superstar. Thank you for becoming a channel member. And Simon Cripps as well. We're going to get into Dynamite here in a little bit, top to bottom, I promise you. And we have some other more breaking news, WWE-wise, although it could eventually affect AEW in a positive way. But we do have some breaking WWE news on Toni Storm, which I'm going to get to here in a second. Before we get into that, I do want to mention this, that on Friday night, can't believe it's been a year since the last stream, but we're going to do it again. We did this last year. We had a lot of fun hanging out on New Year's Eve. And so Sala Monster will spend New Year's Eve with all of you again, if you will, with me. This Friday night, New Year's Countdown 2022. I'm going to go live on YouTube at 10 p.m. And yes, that is going to be during Rampage. So I'm going to have that on mute. I'm going to be checking in periodically with what's going on while we hang out. I'll be browsing the live chat, answering your super chats. We'll do some drinking. It'll be a fun time. It'll be a fun time like last year. So join me Friday night at 10 or anytime after that, as long as you check in with me before midnight so we can do the countdown together. Let's ring in the new year. And hopefully you guys will. Of course, if you got better plans, then by all means, you got a hot date or something. I get it. I understand. But if not, come on by and hang out. Now, earlier today, Sean Ross Sapp of Fightful broke some pretty big news. Not completely unsurprising, but big nonetheless. He broke the news that Toni Storm was no longer with WWE. The same Toni Storm who just challenged for the SmackDown Women's Championship less than a week ago on TV is no longer with WWE. PW Insider followed that with a report confirming that she was, in fact, gone from the company. They say that the story making the rounds internally is that she requested her release and that she flew herself home this morning from Baltimore. She had wrestled in D.C. just last night, triple threat match with Charlotte Flair and Sasha Banks. Nothing was said to have gone wrong in the match. Everything went according to plan. I believe she took the losing fall in that match. This past Friday, she wrestled Charlotte Flair for the SmackDown Women's Championship. It was the Christmas Eve edition of SmackDown. It was a match that was taped a week earlier. And the last image that we will have of Toni Storm on WWE television is after losing to Charlotte Flair, and that really wasn't the surprise. It wasn't so much her losing. After she lost, she sat there in the ring, and she sat on the ring apron, and she cried. And so that will be the lasting image, the final image of Toni Storm that we have on WWE television was of her crying. Now we go back, because I've talked a lot about Toni Storm and her booking. Anybody who tunes into the podcast and the streams, you guys know this already. But I want to take it back because, boy, the comments that I have gotten, all I put one tweet up, and the comments that I have gotten all day, for the most part, people who kind of get it and they understand how fucking awful her main roster run has been. But of course, you have the bootlickers who will check it and say, oh, you know, she did this and she did that and she was on TV. And so anyway, putting that aside, I want to look at the entirety of her WWE run really quick, right? Because before she came up to the main roster, she was in NXT. In fact, even before she had her run with NXT UK, she was in the Mae Young Classic. You take it all the way back to the Mae Young Classic in 2018, she won the tournament. She went on to be the NXT UK Women's Champion for 230 days. She had a hell of a run. She was like the Walter of the women's division. Well, not quite Walter, but she was like, you know, the dominant force for so long in that division. Things were going well for her. Her run in NXT, the main NXT brand, was not very eventful outside of a heel turn that really didn't go anywhere. But July 23rd is the key date that I want you to keep in mind, because it was on July 23rd of this year that Toni Storm made her main roster debut on SmackDown. And when I say main roster debut as an actual part of the brand, I'm not talking Royal Rumble appearances or anything that she may have done, the Mae Young Classic. Her main roster SmackDown debut was a win over Zelina Vega on July 23rd. That is when she arrived on SmackDown. And then as quickly as she arrived, she disappeared. She vanished. Not a word was said about her. Her name was not even mentioned. I joked on the podcast, you know, should we file a police report? Where is this woman? Did something happen? Did she go back home? Did she have visa issues? What's going on? No. She was sitting backstage in catering for almost 8 weeks before she reemerged. That is what she was doing in her absence. She did an interview with Ryan Satin I don't know when the interview was recorded. It had to be in the last few weeks. It dropped 2 days ago. 48 hours ago, this interview, sit-down interview, 30 minutes long with Ryan Satin, because he does a lot of these WWE, you know, out-of-character interviews now. And he just so happened to drop one a couple days ago with Toni Storm. And she talked about this very subject. She talked about sitting backstage and catering for those 8 weeks and what a terrible feeling it is. I'm sure the food is delicious. I'm sure they have all the meats and the cold cuts and the fucking sweets. And oh, I'm sure it's just a smorgasbord of delight. Cookies and God knows what else they have back there. I'm sure it's a great selection of foods to snack on. That's not why Toni Storm signed a contract with WWE. But that's what she was doing for those 8 weeks, and she hated it. In her own words, it was terrible. And it was terrible in part because she didn't know if she was going to get her big break. She said, she's sitting in the back. She's waiting, waiting for your shot. I'm sitting there waiting for my big break. I'm sitting there and I'm waiting to show the world what I've worked my entire life for. And I don't know when or if it's going to come. I'm sitting in the back and I'm watching other people get opportunities. And I'm sitting back here. She sat there thinking, what's happening here? When am I going to be next? So she finally reappears. And I don't know how many of you even remember this, but when she came back, they did some segments on SmackDown where Dolph Ziggler was hitting on her. Now, I don't know if that was going to lead somewhere or not. She was kind of rebuffing his advances, and I think he wanted her to come out to the ring and watch his match or something like that. And that went nowhere. Then she loses to Zelina Vega, who she beat in her debut, right? Remember that? July 23rd, she beat Zelina Vega in her debut. Well, now I guess she pays the favor back to Zelina in a two-minute match in the opening round of the legendary Queen's Crown Catastrophe, as I call it. So she loses in the opening round of that tournament. And then about a month ago, when it looked like maybe her luck was beginning to turn, she was programmed with Charlotte Flair, the queen, right? The champion, the queen, the gatekeeper, looking for her keymaster. Programmed with Charlotte Flair, right? She's the top female on the SmackDown brand. What a great spot for her to be in. Don't know what she did to earn it. She didn't really do a fucking thing because they didn't give her a chance to. But now all of a sudden she's about to enter into a feud with Charlotte Flair. And then they had a match for the championship, but of course, not before she got pied in the face. You all remember that, right? You remember the thumbnail on the review that I did when I did that dual review a few weeks ago? And she had her match with Charlotte last week, and she lost, and she sat in the ring, and she cried, and that's the lasting image from her run. The crying, and also, of course, the pie frosting on her face. Oh, the fun people will have with that. Now, I want to be clear about something here. She asked for her release. That is true. I got a lot of messages about that, too. When I posted that she was gone from the company, all the apologists, well, you know, she asked for her release. As if that makes all of this better, by the way. It excuses all of the bullshit for the last 5 months. I love these people. I love these. These people are great entertainment for me when I scroll my timeline on social media. They actually make me laugh. Some of them make me laugh. Some of them are just morons and you just got to block them and mute them. But some of them actually amuse me. I find some of it actually amusing. Yes, I am aware of the fact that she reportedly asked for her release. That is the belief. That this is not budget cuts, the bullshit budget cut excuse. This is a case where Toni Storm went to WWE for whatever her reasons were. She requested her release. It is kind of strange because other people have requested their release and they have to wait to see if they're going to get it. Some people don't get it. Someone like Toni Storm, you would think, well, you know, they would say, no, we're not going to let you go. But they did. Now, I don't know what that means for her status as far as a non-compete and all that. You know, when unless your contract expires, you are typically bound by a 90-day non-compete, 30 days in NXT. That's usually the way that it works. So I assume that there is a non-compete. And even if she wanted to, she's not going to be going anywhere for at least 90 days. But that's neither here nor there. You know, I'm also thinking, by the way, I mentioned the Mae Young Classic a little while ago. It may be best to leave those Mae Young Classics in the past. They did two of them. And both winners of the Mae Young Classic, Kairi Sane and Toni Storm, both asked for their release and went to go leave WWE of their own accord. So I don't know what that means, but it might be best to leave those Mae Young Classics in the past. But we don't know if there's something going on in her personal life that necessitated her going to management and saying, look, I want out. This was so sudden. You know, again, she was on the house shows as recently as last night. This felt like a very sudden, out-of-nowhere thing. So I hope everything is okay with her. I hope everything is okay with her family, you know, back home. And there's no issues there. And if there is a problem, I hope it all gets sorted out. So let me just put that out there first. But regardless of what is going on in her personal life that may have led to her making this decision now, it does not change the facts of Toni Storm in WWE. So let's be perfectly honest here. When we talk about Toni Storm in WWE, right? If Toni Storm is having fun and is enjoying herself in WWE, if Toni Storm feels fulfilled, she feels like she is fulfilling her dreams and her goals, and she's everything is just firing on all cylinders, and the stars are aligning for her career-wise in this company, then Toni Storm does not go to WWE and ask to leave the company. She can go to WWE and say, look, I got something going on. I need to take a leave of absence. I need some time off, something like that. That's what you would expect, right? You would expect that it would be a case where something like that would happen. If she feels fulfilled in her career, you don't do that. We know that she wasn't feeling completely fulfilled because she just talked literally in an interview 2 days ago about sitting in catering for 8 weeks. And yes, things have turned for her in recent weeks. But we already know that she didn't feel fulfilled. She felt the opposite of that. She felt stifled. She's sitting on her ass in the back wondering, when am I going to get a shot? I mean, that's got to be a mind fuck for you no matter who you are. If you are a driven person who wants to succeed, if you have goals, sitting in the back watching other people get opportunities is not going to put you in a very happy mood. So we already know that. We already know that she wasn't exactly feeling fulfilled in her WWE run. But her asking for her release is hardly a surprise when you look at the last 5 months of this woman's career, July, August, September, October, November, December, 5 months since she made her debut on that SmackDown show. And look, I can name a whole bunch of NXT stars who got called up to the main roster and had their balls cut off. She wouldn't be the only one. And yes, I know Toni Storm doesn't have any balls, but if she did, Vince McMahon would have them in a jar in his office right next to Keith Lee and Karrion Kross. He'd have a jar waiting with her name on it. If you can look at that, if you can look at everything I just talked about, the two pies to the face, my God, the pies. I still can't get over the pies. If you can look at that and tell me that this company did everything that they could with this woman and had big plans with this woman and had this woman prime, she was going to, man, they were going to launch her and she was going to make this company, you know, a lot of money, and they were doing right by Toni Storm, man, they had great ideas lined up, great creative lined up for Toni Storm, they had big plans for Toni Storm, and they were putting her in a position to succeed. If you honestly believe that, you are a clueless fucking idiot. Toni Storm is 26 years old. She's got all the talent in the world to be a top star, a major star, anywhere in the world. Any promotion, anywhere in the world. You know, look, maybe she wants to be closer to her soon-to-be husband. Her and Juice Robinson, I believe, are getting married soon, right? I believe they're engaged. If they're not already married, I don't think they're married yet, but he's splitting his time, I think, of late between Impact and New Japan. I don't know where he is at this moment, if he's stateside or if he's overseas. Maybe she wants to be closer to him. Maybe it's a relationship thing and, you know, they're apart and, you know, that could wreak havoc on relationships. I'm just thinking out loud here, because I know the two of them are together. And working for different promotions, especially if you're in different countries, like, that could be very difficult. Maybe we come to find out, if we find out, that that has something to do with it. Maybe so. Maybe so. But Britt Baker is already out there tweeting photos of Toni Storm, kind of teasing the idea that maybe they'll have a match one day, you know, in AEW. And look, maybe she lands in AEW. A lot of people tweeting about that, too. A lot of people talking about, ooh, Toni Storm. You know, Toni Khan should go after Toni Storm, all right? Toni should pick up the phone and call Toni. Got a lot of people talking about the possibility of her going to AEW. Fact is, the timing couldn't be any better because next week, AEW is crowning a brand new TBS champion. They are about to introduce a second women's championship. And so what better way in this new year to bolster their women's division by bringing in somebody like Toni Storm? You know, I talk about Jade Cargill, and she wrestled tonight in the ring. This was not exactly, I wouldn't say a great night for her, but she looks like a star. You can tell that they know the same thing. They're going to put all their marketing muscle around this woman in one day, whether it's next year, the year after. Jade Cargill is going to be the number one woman in this company. The woman looks like a star. She's just very inexperienced. She needs more time, but she has that look. You look at her, she looks like a star. Toni Storm is the same way. Toni Storm is a star. So AEW, Impact, New Japan, all these promotions would be dumb not to reach out to her and see if there's mutual interest and try to bring her in at some point. She's going to be a hot commodity in 2022. Wherever she lands, whether it's stateside, whether it's overseas somewhere, wherever she lands, I guarantee you, she will be treated with more respect than she got from WWE in the last 5 months. And so until we have more information on exactly why she left, I've said my piece on Toni Storm. So now let's switch over to AEW, which is why you guys are all here. Daly's Place, as I said, was looking great tonight. Jim Ross got the entrance first entrance of the night, came out, got a great ovation. Tony Schiavone, Excalibur, they were very excited to see him. And it was very, very cool that he tweeted that out earlier about being cancer-free. That was some great news to get. So that was a great way to open the show. However, tonight was tag team overload. In AEW, we got multi-man madness here on this show tonight, especially just in these opening two matches, and then again in the main event. So we had three multi-man tag team matches. I am not a huge fan when they fill shows with these multi-man matches. If you're going to build around a main event that has one, fine. I expect them to introduce trios titles at some point next year. They almost have to introduce trios titles, and I think that's a good thing. I think they have so many trios in this company, trios titles make sense. But that doesn't mean that on one show you should have a six-man tag and another six-man tag or an eight-man tag and a 10-man tag. It's too much. So I'm not really a fan when they do shows like that. I thought tonight's show was good. I did not think it was great, you know, as far as final TNT shows go. They've had much better than the one we got tonight. I mean, the atmosphere there was great. There was some really good stuff on the show, but you know, it was good overall. It was not a great episode. But we started with a 10-man tag: Jurassic Express, Christian Cage, and the Lucha Brothers against FTR, Matt Hardy, and Private Party. Thank you very much. Zantara in the chat says we are not here. We are not here for AEW. We are here for the Solid Monster. Well, that's a lie, but I thank you for saying that. That is very, very nice of you to say. And Gary, just so I saw the Oscar double thumbs up. Thank you for the sub. So the heels worked over Jungle Boy for a while. Rey Fénix went for a muscle buster on Marquen. And he and Isaiah Cassidy turned it into a DDT. Good to see Marquen back in action. I don't know if he's been on Dark recently. I thought maybe he had an injury. We saw Isaiah Cassidy last week in singles action. So this is the first time I've seen Marquand in the ring, I think, in I don't know how many weeks. It's been a while. But he and Cassidy turned it into a DDT. Dax Harwood was working over Rey Fénix while the crowd chanted for Luchasaurus. Fénix hit a double jump moonsault on FTR, got the hot tag to the Dinosaur, choke slam on Harwood. Penta got the blind tag, which Luchasaurus and Christian were not happy about. Trouble in Paradise, more on that in a second. On the floor, Hardy sent Luchasaurus into the ring post, and as he did that, in the background, we could see Rey Fénix doing what Rey Fénix does, which is flying all around. He hit a tornado dive, twisting through the air, down onto FTR on the floor. After landing, we got three bodies on the floor. We got Dax, we got Cash, we got Fénix. A few seconds go by, all of a sudden we see Jungle Boy. He dove out of the ring. We see him land. We missed the dive, but we saw him land. And the camera missed two dives in a row. Now, earlier, Tony Khan announced, he said that he had a bittersweet announcement to make at some point today. And I'm thinking, okay, what is this about? You know, I can only imagine. For a while there, I thought Jim Ross was going to announce his retirement. You know, as soon as he comes back, he's going to announce that, you know, 2022 is going to be my last year on commentary or something. I didn't know what he meant when he said he had a bittersweet announcement. But the bittersweet announcement was that their head of production, Keith Mitchell, who has worked in wrestling going back four decades for multiple promotions, Keith Mitchell, tonight was his last night. He is retiring. So tonight's broadcast was his final one. So I see this and I'm thinking, boy, maybe this guy retired a few hours early. I think Keith Mitchell checked out a little early tonight. Maybe he hit the bubbly a little early. Back-to-back dives that we missed. Penta set up for the Fear Factor on Wheeler. Christian, though, got the blind tag, and Penta got into a shoving match with him. He was not happy about that. He shoved Christian. FTR knocked Christian into Penta, which sent Penta out of the ring. And FTR finished things off with the big rig to Christian. So there's a lot going on here. The two key things being the unrest on the babyface side, which is leading to a tag team title match on TV next week. We got a promo segment in the back a little bit later on. Lucha Bros were being interviewed. Christian came over with Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, and he was talking shit to Penta and Rey Fénix, laid down the gauntlet. So there's a tag team title match set up for the first TBS show next week. The other takeaway from this is that FTR got a win. FTR got a much-needed win. They don't win as much as they should on TV. They're the AAA Tag Team Champions right now. They're not the AEW Tag Team Champions. But it feels to me like they're losing more big matches than they win. And so even though they weren't even the focus, right? The focus was what was going on with Christian and Penta. FTR was almost like an afterthought. But at least they got a win. Because they needed it. So it was good to see them pick up the W. They need that every now and again. From there, we went to commercial. We came back. We went right into a trios match. So we go from a 10-man tag to a 6-man tag. Daniel Garcia in 2.0 against Eddie Kingston, Santana, and Ortiz. Boy, you talk about underutilized. I saw there was some kind of interview, I guess, that Santana did, or maybe both he and Ortiz did, where they talked about, you know, it's about time that we really got into the mix for the AEW tag team titles. And I'm thinking to myself, about time. It's been time for 2 years. Better late than never. I'd say, yeah, it's about time for them to get into the mix. So Kingston started off with Matt Lee. Went right after Garcia, though. Match broke down. Santana hit Garcia with the Enziguri. Three amigos. That's an Eddie chance. Santana and Ortiz took Garcia down with a double-team facebuster for a near fall. Heels took over heading into the commercial break. Back from break, Kingston was lighting up Garcia in the corner with the machine gun chops. Suplexes Jeff Parker halfway across the ring. Tags in Santana. He tried for a standing moonsault. Matt Lee got the knees up, rolled up Santana with a handful of tights for the win. That felt like it came out of nowhere. It was the planned finish, but it still felt like it came out of nowhere. And the fans did not like that at all. So back-to-back heel wins. In fact, now that I think about it, not only back-to-back heel wins in these opening tag team matches, correct me if I'm wrong, I believe the heels won every single match tonight on the show. There was a Wardlow squash. I know the fans kind of, you know, they kind of like him, but he's still a heel for now. So I believe this was a clean sweep for the heels on this show. Very heel-heavy show. After the match, Parker and Lee were double-teaming Santana. Garcia hit Santana in the head with a ring bell. Only after he hit him in the head with the ring bell did we hear Chris Jericho's music. And out comes Jericho running to the ring, running down the ramp. They had that connecting ramp, that little curved kind of diagonal ramp to the ring. And he runs out with his baseball bat. A little late, I would say. And as he's climbing through the ropes to get into the ring, he kind of tripped. Kind of tripped himself up in the ropes there. Chased away the heels. He went to go check on his fellow Inner Circle member. In case you forgot, Santana and Ortiz are still technically part of the Inner Circle. They never broke up. They're like the New Day in this company. They don't want to break them up. They're still together, technically, but they never did have a kind of a formal breakup here. So Jericho went to go check on Santana, and Eddie Kingston got up in Jericho's face for interfering in his business yet again. Eddie was not very happy about that. Or maybe Kingston was just upset that Jericho was being a fucking narcissist and waiting for his entrance music to play before he came out to help his friend. That would make sense. I side with Eddie in this. This is obviously leading to a little something between Jericho and Kingston. I guess Jericho needs something to do and Eddie needs something to do, right? Moxley's not back yet. Hopefully he's doing well. Hopefully we'll get him back on TV very soon. MJF was in the back for a promo. Shawn Spears was behind him. Wardlow was sitting down. And he said last week he was tossed out over the top rope, almost broke his fucking neck. He didn't say that. That's what I'm saying. Although on this show, you could pretty much get away with saying anything you want. He probably could have said it if he wanted to. It's the last show on what's TNT going to do? Kick him off? Well, I guess Rampage is still on there. So you don't want to piss off the TNT execs. But he said last week he was tossed over the top rope by the untrained hack, Sting. I don't know if that nickname would work. What do you think? We call him the Icon. What about the untrained hack? Doesn't really have the same ring to it. He was asking, who trained that guy anyway? I don't know. Was it Rick Bassman? Rick Bassman discovered him in Warrior, but who actually trained Sting? I don't know. It might have been Bassman. He said that he was revered, Sting was, when he should have been released. You know, if Sting worked for WWE right now, he would absolutely have been released. He would have been part of one of these cut lists at some point this year. Would have found out that Sting has been released due to budget cuts from WWE. MJF said if he was working for a much more professional company, perhaps what happened last week to him would not have happened. And he said that that's a conversation for the bidding war that is coming in 2024. As I have said, because people have asked me, what do you think is going to happen if MJF goes to WWE? I got news for you. MJF ain't going to WWE. I know 2024 is still a couple of years away. Anything can happen in 2 years. He's not going to WWE. Can you imagine MJF having material written for him by these people in WWE? Why would anybody want that? Why would he want that? You're trading one billionaire for another. If money is what you're after, you're going to get plenty of money working for Tony Khan. You may as well just stay where you are. He brought up CM Punk, said that he stayed away from him for the entire match last week. Punk is a distraction from MJF's ultimate goal. Said, why settle there, though? And he turned to Wardlow and he said, you need to stop with that powerbomb stuff every week. And he tells Wardlow that he can win the upcoming Face of the Revolution ladder match for a shot at the TNT Championship. But when he wins it, he'll have to hand the title over to MJF. And this was news to Wardlow. And MJF pointed out that it's in the contract and they brought in his legal counsel. Mark Sterling, the manager of Jade Cargill, Mark Sterling Esquire, comes into the room. He reads out loud part of the contract that Wardlow signed with MJF that basically says anything he wins belongs to MJF. In the meantime, MJF says he's going to start ranking up and getting some wins so he could become the TNT champion and the AEW champion. Now, don't forget, when we flip over to January, the rankings in AEW, they reset. That's the deal. Every year, the rankings reset back to zero, and you got to start racking up wins all over again. So MJF, going to start racking up wins, wants to win all the singles gold in this company. But Wardlow looked like he wanted to rip this fucking guy's head off his shoulders when this was over. So the slow build continues to the inevitable split and the inevitable babyface turn. He's already half a babyface anyway. He's out there powerbombing people every single week. People are chanting one more time. We saw it tonight. In fact, he was up next against Colin Delaney. And by the way, when they introduced Colin Delaney, I thought, holy shit, there's a fucking name I haven't heard in a long time. There's a blast from the past. There's a blast back to the WWECW days. Colin Delaney. He's actually got some meat on his bones now. He used to be just skin and bones back in the day. Now he's got some meat on his bones. He's got a bald spot. Made me feel old. Colin Delaney, he looked like he was in fucking high school when we saw him on TV. Now he's got a bald spot. And what is he now? He's probably in his, I don't know how old he is. Maybe he's in his 30s. He's probably in his 30s. He was out there looking 40, but he's probably in his 30s. Where does time go? So a clothesline and four power bombs later. Thanks for coming, Colin. That was the end of him. See you in another 15 years. Sean Spears hit Delaney in the back with a chair as he was being helped down the ramp to the back. We had a backstage promo with the Elite and the former Undisputed Era members. Young Bucks were not happy with Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly has not spoken to the Bucks all week. In fact, he wasn't even making eye contact with him, with Matt or Nick, for that matter. So they weren't very happy about that. Yeah, Beowulf, I'm usually not watching Elevation, so that would explain why I haven't seen Colin Delaney. I'm talking Colin Delaney on TV, doing anything on TV, major promotion. I haven't seen him. I know he's been around. I have not seen him since his ECW run. So that is why I said that. So Adam Cole tells the Bucks, I got this. It's all good. Don't worry about it. Because Kyle had something to say to Adam Cole. So the Bucks left. Kyle said to Bobby Fish, you too. Bobby said, okay, no problem. So he left. So it was Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. Why does this feel like deja vu from a few months ago? And I like the fact that they acknowledge their NXT feud. Really, I think any wrestling promotion in a situation like this would acknowledge their recent past. That's something that WWE doesn't do, typically, because they're very insulated. They're in their own little bubble. They don't want to acknowledge that there's anything that exists outside WWE unless they're really little tiny promotions. But I like the fact that they at least, you know, don't treat their audience like fucking morons. These two guys were in a blood feud only a few months ago. And it's still kind of ridiculous that here they are back together, but at least they're taking the time to acknowledge that they had their issues. There's heat between them. Things are not completely cool between these two guys. But as Kyle said, this is AEW now. That's in the past. This is AEW. And he said they're the Paragon, which that was the only mention, I think, of that name all night. That may be the new name of their group, either Paragon or the Paragon. I don't know how I feel about that. O'Reilly said tonight he knows where Bobby stands, but he wants to know if Adam Cole is going to have his back. So that was that little tease for the main event. Then we had a very interesting segment here. We had Scorpio Sky, Ethan Page, and Dan Lambert in the ring. Lambert was in there. He was running down Cody and Brandy. And he said he doesn't know of anybody named Brandy who wasn't a stripper. Brandy came out after she got tired of listening to all of his bullshit. Brandy came out and she called Lambert a less talented version of Paul Heyman. And Lambert said, I'd rather be compared to Jim Cornette. So they're name dropping all these guys now. none of whom will ever be on AEW television. Although I guess there's a better chance of Heyman showing up there one day than Jim Cornette. She asked him if he ever had a woman beat him up without having to pay for it. And he called her Bambi and then apologized. He said that I get my stripper names mixed up. Bambi, Brandy. It's very easy to get confused. Candy. He said everybody watching wants to beat her up and said that if he gets to be the one, so be it, because he's a black belt. And then came the line of the promo. Brandy said, if you're a black belt, I'm a black bitch. And she started to take off her shoes. Dustin Rhodes ran down because he could see things were about to get out of hand. So Dustin came out to calm things down. He got blindsided by Ethan Page. Brandy went over to tend to Dustin while the heels left the ring. You know, I thought Brandy's last line was good. I thought the last line was good. The rest of this felt very forced. Even the Heyman line was very cringy. You know, if they want Brandy in the ring with Lambert, let him. I'm not really... Lambert is very good as far as doing the role that he is tasked with doing when he's out there. But we've reached this point now where when I see him in the ring or I see him in the skybox, you know, with Paige and Sky, it's just like, eh. You know, I won't call it boss man go away heat with me or X-Pac heat or anything like that, but I just immediately lose interest. And then you send Brandy out there and now they're teasing this, you know, intergender match between Brandy and Lambert. I don't know. You kind of take that. You keep them together in one segment. At least they're not interfering with the rest of the show. And it keeps Brandy away from the title picture. I thought for sure there was a period of time a few weeks ago where I thought that she was going to be involved in this TBS title tournament. And it was designed with her making her big comeback because she's talked about wanting to come back to the ring and be a wrestler again. And I thought there was a chance that maybe the whole point of this TBS thing was putting the title on Brandi Rhodes, which thank God that wasn't the case. So at least it keeps her out of the title picture. But this is just, I don't know. They're still trying to get Cody cheered. She was out there basically, you know, playing the babyface role. They're still trying to get them cheered. Well, good luck with that. Thunder Rosa, one-on-one with Jade Cargill in the last of the semifinal matches in the TBS title tournament. The winner wrestles Ruby Soho in the finals in New Jersey next week on that very first TBS edition of Dynamite to crown a new champion. Thunder Rosa came out there dressed up like Wolverine. She had the claws and everything. She looked good. That was a fun getup there. Rosa took down Mark Sterling early, hit a senton on the floor, took him down. Jade then caught Rosa going for a crossbody and hit a backbreaker right across her knee. Jade sent Rosa headfirst into the ring post. They finally brought it into the ring so the match could begin. Jade missed the back elbow in the corner. Rosa hit a dragon screw with Cargill's legs and the ropes. Rosa went for something off the middle rope. She slipped. And I thought maybe at first she tweaked her knee. She was okay, but she slipped coming off the ropes, composed herself, and then she got absolutely blasted in the face by a pump kick from Jade Cargill. I mean, that looked ridiculous. I mean, she booted this woman right in the fucking face, folded Rosa over. I even bought that could have been the finish, but they went to the picture-in-picture instead. Not much happened during the break. Coming out of the break, we had Jade picking up Rosa for a delayed vertical suplex, which Rosa wiggled out of, and she landed on top of Jade coming out of the break. Rosa started working over Cargill's leg. Jade, though, propelled Rosa coming off the ropes into the air, caught her, and hit a Samoan drop. So that looked good. She followed that up with a backbreaker, still favoring the leg, still selling the leg injury. A food hive. What's going on, food hive? Paul Hamilton is joining us tonight, and Paul Hamilton just dropped the 50 spot. There it is. What is going on, Paul? Paul, I don't know if Paul is still in Hawaii or if he's back. He was on a Hawaiian vacation. I was very jealous. I have not been on vacation in 2 years. I've never been to Hawaii. But he looked like he was having a good time, and so I'm happy for you. Thank you for the 50 spot. And Chris Dingley just became a channel member. What's going on, Chris? Just in time. We're going to be doing a pilot episode soon for our new call-in show for channel members. So now's a great time to join. Rosa came back with a figure four leg lock. Jade, though, got to the ropes. Mark Sterling handed her a bottle of water so she could hydrate. I mean, that's what managers do, right? When the manager, you got your man, your woman is in trouble, you pick up the bottle of water and you try to hydrate them. You got to stay hydrated. It's very important. You don't want to be dehydrated. Mark Sterling knows. So then he jumped up on the apron to distract the referee. While that was going on, Rosa had Jade. She was trying for another figure four. Jade kicked out of it. She kicked her forward. And Rosa went face first into the turnbuckle. So now she's laying there. She's draped over the rope, right over by where the turnbuckles are. And all of a sudden, this person who was cloaked in a mask, you know, like a face mask, but like a hoodie, AEW hoodie. We couldn't see who it was. Couldn't see if it was a man or a woman. Whoever it was, they hit Rosa in the head with something. Smashed something over her head. Knocked her silly. And that allowed Cargill to hit the Jaded to pick up the win and advance in the tournament. So after the match, Rosa is not happy. She kind of gets her wits about her, and she Thez presses Jade down to the mat, and she's wailing away. All of a sudden, the hooded person, the disguised individual, gets back into the ring. She attacks Rosa, and then she pulls off the mask. And she pulls off the hood to reveal Mercedes Martinez. Mercedes Martinez, who dodged quite the bullet. What a year it's been for Mercedes Martinez. I don't remember. Now, she got released from WWE many months ago. But going back to the Retribution stuff last year, she was part of Retribution. The legendary faction of Retribution. Remember the first night they showed up on Monday Night Raw and they firebombed that generator outside the Performance Center? And then jumped up and down like a bunch of fucking geeks and then ran away. And then they showed up with chainsaws and, oh boy, yeah, they were the hot thing in wrestling for about 6 days there. And she could tell that this was not going to end well. Plus, they wanted her to change her name. And she's done interviews saying 20 years of equity in the name Mercedes Martinez. Now they wanted me to be Retaliation or whatever the fuck her name was going to be, Retribution or something. So I would say that she made the right call. She dodged a bullet there. Now she has landed back in AEW. I say back because I believe she was in Battle Royal. It might have been her only appearance. This is going back maybe a couple of years. It might have been at All Out. But I remember her being in a Battle Royal at some point. So this is not her first time in AEW. Although now I assume she's actually signed and has a contract. Before, she didn't have a contract. So she shows up. She now works for Mark Sterling. So she traded Robert Stone in NXT for Mark Sterling here in AEW. I would call that a minor upgrade. Not a major upgrade. A minor upgrade. Because anything Robert Stone touches in NXT turns to shit. So it is an upgrade. Ruby Soho's music hits. She runs down to the ring with a lead pipe to make the save. So it will be Jade Cargill one-on-one against Ruby Soho in the finals of the TBS tournament coming up next week. I was expecting Jamie Hayter. The big surprise for me, I expected that Thunder Rosa was going to lose this match. If you are surprised, if you are disappointed to see Thunder Rosa lose the match, you should have seen it coming. Only I wasn't thinking Mercedes Martinez. I was thinking Jamie Hayter. Or Jamie Hayter and Rebel. Thunder Rosa beat Jamie Hayter earlier in the TBS tournament. Jamie Hayter obviously is connected to Britt Baker. And the destination here should be Thunder Rosa finding her way back to Britt Baker and finding her way to the AEW World title, Women's World title next year. So for me, I was thinking, well, Jamie Hayter interferes, costs Thunder Rosa the match. She doesn't have to go after the TBS title. She's got bigger fish to fry next year with Britt Baker. That was the big surprise for me, that it wasn't Jamie Hayter, that it was Mercedes Martinez. But Rosa losing really wasn't much of a surprise. And now we've got Jade in there. Ruby is going into the match. The babyface is going into the match next week as the underdog. You know, Jade Cargill is bigger and stronger than her. She's undefeated. She's never been pinned. So Ruby Soho is going to be the underdog. I would love to see Ruby win the whole thing. This seems, now that I look at it, this seems prime for a Jade Cargill win next week. I mean, that's just how it feels to me. And I mean, it's kind of weird. That would give us two heel women's champions at the same time. Look, you want better matches. You want better matches? You go with Ruby Soho. Yeah, you watch Jade Cargill out there tonight. She did not have a great night in the ring. She wasn't as terrible. I saw people, you know, blasting the match. Oh, it sucks. She was horrible. I wouldn't go that far. There were a couple of spots that she hit in that match that looked good. You know, the whole pop-up into the Samoan drop thing and some of the other stuff that she did. She didn't look great because she's still fucking green. Look, like that super chat that just came in and from Marcus. What's going on, Marcus? Green like that. This woman has only had so many matches. She's still learning. She's not very experienced at all. For someone with her level of experience, I think where she's at right now is okay. She's being pushed, you know, further than her push would, or her level of experience, I should say, would dictate. But that's what happens when you put somebody in the ring in a position like this who isn't ready for that spot. And that's the key. She's not ready for that spot. If you're looking for somebody to go in there as the new TBS champion and go out there and have long matches on TV, very good matches on TV, she is not the person to be the TBS champion right now. I don't think that's what they're looking for, though. I think they're looking at her. She looks the part. She looks like a star. She's very marketable. She's got a certain charisma about her. She is somebody who they are going to build that division around. She will be one of their homegrown projects that they can point to in a few years if she continues to progress and say, we created a new star from scratch. We didn't bring her in from anywhere else. She came in, she was bodybuilding, she had no experience as a wrestler. And we trained her from the ground up, and now look at her. So she looks the part. If they want her to go on a tear as a monster and just destroy people and have short matches, and then one day somebody will slay the dragon, well, then you're going to end up with Jade Cargill as the TBS champion. But, you know, you watch this match. Is she ready to be, you know, the champion or a champion in this company? It's not the top title. You know, it's the secondary title. So, yeah, I think that this is all geared up for her to take the title, I think, next week. It's about who's more marketable and who looks the part. You go with Jade Cargill. If it's me, I go with Ruby Soho. Doesn't look like it's going to go that way, though. As far as Mercedes, I'm happy for her. You know, again, she didn't have a lot of luck on the main roster in WWE. She had some success in NXT there for a while. Main roster-wise was just a fucking wet fart. Didn't exactly work out for her, as it doesn't for a lot of other people who came up from NXT under Triple H. You see a pattern developing here, by the way? So her landing in AEW can only make that division stronger. There's actually quite a few talented women who find themselves suddenly available heading into the new year. And we talk a lot about Tony Khan. He can't sign everybody. You got to watch. You know, you bring in too many people, and there's a lot of people that aren't going to get TV time. They're not going to know what to do with everybody. That, to me, is more of an issue right now with the men. They could use a few more really good women to really flesh out that division. Look, they're introducing a new championship. So if you don't think that AEW wouldn't benefit from having somebody like a Mercedes Martinez, like a Tegan Knox, or a Toni Storm, Ember Moon, where's Ember Moon going to land? They could use women like that in that division. You sign three or four of those names and you're off to the races, coupled with who you already have. All of a sudden, a division that was once the weak link in this company could end up being their strongest division in the entire company. CM Punk was out to make his first appearance in Daly's Place. So for all those pandemic era shows with no fans, wrestlers masquerading as fans in the front row, CM Punk came in after all that. He missed all of that. Hey, Jason, thank you for the sub. Welcome to the channel. Brandon in the chat says, when is Jake the Snake coming back? It's good thing you brought that up. Jake posted earlier today on Twitter that he is COVID positive, which is not good because Jake has had a lot of health issues. He is older, but he's had a lot of health issues, including breathing problems. I've talked about it, how, you know, when he's not on TV, you can find him. He's done interviews where he's hooked up to an oxygen tank. That's without COVID. So he's had breathing issues. He's got COPD from all the years of smoking. I don't know if he's still smoking or not. I think he gave it up. I don't know. But he just posted that earlier, that he is COVID positive. So hopefully everything is going to work out okay with him. And he'll be back on TV soon. Lance Archer's been out ever since he hurt his neck on TV a few months ago. So I think when Archer is ready to come back, Jake, hopefully he'll be better and he'll be back on TV. He signed a new contract a few months ago. Tony Khan gave him another contract for another year. So when Jake is ready, he will be back. CM Punk was out next for an appearance. His first at Daly's Place. He comes out and he says, where's Jim Ross at? He's trying to find where Jim Ross is sitting. And he finds him and he puts him over and says, it's great to have you back. As he said, he gave Jim Ross his flowers here on this show. Talks about MJF and how, actually before he got to MJF, there was one other person who he acknowledged, very important here, Brody Lee. We just had the 1 year anniversary this past weekend of his death. 1 year. 1 year ago this month, day after Christmas, Brody Lee passed away. I talked about him a little bit on the podcast on Sunday. And Punk said that he probably wouldn't be in AEW were it not for that tribute show that they did to Brody Lee. It was that tribute show and how impressed he was by that production that AEW put on a year ago, which I think is the best episode of Dynamite they've ever done. I think that's the best production this company's ever put together, period. But that was the tribute show that really inspired him to want to come to AEW, which he ended up doing many months later. And it happened right there in Daly's Place. So then he talked about MJF and how MJF said, he's done with me and he's on to bigger and better things like the AEW World title. He says, well, I want the AEW World title too. We share that same goal. He called MJF an even bigger waste of con money than Tim Tebow. Got a nice pot from the crowd. Tebow got cut by the Jaguars back in August. And hey, Tebow played for the Mets in their minor league system for 5 years before he got cut. So we are well aware here in New York of Tim Tebow. He never made it up to the main club. He never played in Citi Field. We could have used him a few times. Couldn't have done any worse. Yeah, 5 years, though, he spent in the minor leagues for the Mets. He did well there for a while, and then it was just, you know. Look. If you're running a ball club, there was a point in time where Tim Tebow as an attraction could have sold tickets. He was selling tickets in the Mets minor leagues. I mean, there was a reason why they signed him and gave him the opportunity. It's like when Michael Jordan was playing baseball for a while all those years ago, because he's an attraction. He's going to sell tickets. I guess Tim Tebow's ticket selling days are over, though. Punk said that it would be a real shame if someone interfered in MJF's quest for the gold, and he sort of left it at that. So I think I'm trying to think of when they're going to do the match. Revolution is still a ways off. It feels like a long time to wait to do the first match with Punk and MJF, to wait until March 6th. So that's 2 months. Can they hold off? Can they keep things interesting enough for 2 more months before they put them in the ring together? If that's the plan, if the plan is to put them in the ring at Revolution, we got to wait 2 months. We'll see how Wardlow factors into that. If the split between him and MJF happens before then, and then they go to the match, and MJF has no Wardlow at that point to rely on. But obviously, Punk is going to screw up his plans in some way between now and then. Tony Schiavone was in the ring with Brian Pillman Jr. Raging Girl Gamer, big fan of Tim Tebow. Gotta love Tebow, she says. Boy, we got a Tebow fangirl here in the chat. He's got his posse. Shivani was in the ring with Brian Pillman Jr. And Pillman cut a promo. He said, you know, last week, my partner, my brother, talking about Griff Garrison, walked into the House of Black. That was when Griff Garrison was Armed Anderson. Super chat. Griff Garrison was defeated last week by Malakai Black. And then after the match, if you remember, Brian Pillman Jr. ate a Black Mass kick. He was knocked into the middle of next week. His grandkids are going to wake up one day in a daze wondering what happened. That's how hard he got kicked in the face by Malakai Black. And he said things went black and his memory's a little hazy about, you know, things that happened last week. Says, as a second generation wrestler, I've been busting my ass night in and night out. It started right here in Jacksonville, right here at Daly's Place. And he was yelling, like he was showing a lot of fire here at this point in the promo. He goes, now it's my turn to take a trip to the House of Black. Said, I never knew my father. I don't know the kind of man that he was, but if I've learned anything, you only live once. And next week, actually, I think that's Liv Morgan's Twitter handle. Anyway, he said, you only live once, and next week you're going to see a brand new Brian Pillman Jr. At that point, the lights go out. When the lights come back on, we see Malakai Black standing on the ramp. He's wearing his giant helmet with the antlers. He removes it. We see his face. Lights go out again. When they come back on, there's no Malakai Black. He has disappeared. Like Tony Storm, he's vanished. So, I think that Pillman showed great fire here in this promo. He had more confidence in this one promo than I've seen from him before in AEW. I mean, there was a promo he had before the match with MJF at Arthur Ashe that was pretty good. But a lot of fire here in this promo. I don't know what he means by saying we're going to see a different Brian Pillman Jr. I don't know if that is a preview of a future heel turn or if he's going to wear, different tights. I have no idea what different Brian Pillman Jr. we're going to see next week, because the outcome will be no different than everybody else who has stepped into the ring, I guess outside of Cody, with Malakai Black, which is that he will lose. And I'm wondering, you know, it's a big show next week. First TBS Dynamite. Maybe Griff Garrison will show up and try to help out his bro. If this is going to be the first appearance, the debut appearance of Brody King, we might see Brody King show up on TBS next Wednesday. I think next week would be the perfect place for it. Main event was Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. Kyle O'Reilly making his in-ring AEW debut against Orange Cassidy, Chuck Taylor, and Trent. It was so nice seeing Red Dragon back together, coming out to their old entrance music, just like old times. Reunited again. Again, this is where Kyle O'Reilly belongs right now in this team with Bobby Fish. There is no shortage of great teams for them to match up with next year. And Santana and Ortiz have talked about, hey, it's about time we get back into the tag team title mix. So there's a match, you know, that we may end up getting. I mean, that's, I think that was a match at one point in House of Glory many years ago, I believe. Cassidy avoided a slingshot senton from Bobby Fish. Cole laid him out with a clothesline. Fish hit the move anyway. Cole got caught in the wrong corner and got hit with the charging clotheslines from Best Friends and a double elbow drop. O'Reilly caught Chuck Taylor with a dragon screw leg whip in the ropes. Fish clipped Taylor's leg on the floor. They went to break. Send hook. Dragon Gate says send hook. No hook tonight. Gotta save him for the special occasions. Back from break, Trent caught O'Reilly with a DDT. There was a spot where O'Reilly booted Chuck Taylor. I laughed. I mean, I hope he's okay. I hope he's not concussed. He booted him in the head. Chuck was down on all fours. He was trying to crawl into the ring, but he was over by where the ramp connected to the ring. And he booted him in the head, and Chuck fell off the ramp. But he fell head first. So he didn't just kind of roll off. He went like upside down, ass over tea kettle, head first down onto the floor. I don't know how many feet down. It may have only been 3 feet or something, but still. he just fell right on his head. You can see the people in the crowd stood up to look and make sure he was okay. Cassidy tagged in. He hit Adam Cole with the Stun Dog Millionaire. Red Dragon caught him, though, with a double team DDT into a released German for a near fall. And then they hit the high low. Chuck was okay. He got back into the match. He reversed a Panama Sunrise attempt by Adam Cole on the ramp by backdropping him onto it. He did a senton cannonball off the ramp down onto both members of Red Dragon on the floor. Trent hit a diving spear through the ropes to the ramp where Cole was. So he takes Adam Cole out with a spear. Back inside, double stuffed pile drivers to Cole by each member of Best Friends. Cassidy hits the beach break. They have the match won. Fish and O'Reilly dive in at the last moment to make the save. Cole was leveling Cassidy with forearms. I mean, he was just wrecking this guy. Cassidy's up against the ropes. Behind Cassidy on the apron is Adam Cole. So keep that in mind. Kyle O'Reilly hits the ropes. He comes off with a big boot. Cassidy moves out of the way. And Kyle O'Reilly boots Adam Cole right in the face, knocks him off the apron, down to the floor. Best Friends mounted a comeback on Red Dragon and then hugged in the middle of the ring. Here comes Brandon Cutler. Every time I fucking see this guy run out to the ring, I just groan. He runs out to the ring for the distraction. Here come the Young Bucks. The referee is distracted. The Young Bucks get into the ring. Stereo super kicks. And then finally, Chasing the Dragon wins it for Cole, Fish, and O'Reilly. After the match was over, the Bucks went over to Adam Cole outside. And they were talking, oh, this guy, what's with this guy? He kicked you in the face. They're really stirring shit up. And Cole is looking up into the ring, and he has no idea what just happened. Why'd he kick me in the face? What's going on here? Pointing at O'Reilly, you know, trying to, you know, egg on Adam Cole. Look what this guy did to you. So the dissension begins. The dissension has already begun here. The fracture within this little group here between the Elite, Undisputed Era, or whatever they're going to call themselves, Paragon, if that's their new name, whatever it might be. This is only the beginning of that story. Again, Kyle O'Reilly only just came into the company. So we're at the very beginning stages of what this is going to blossom into in the first half of 2022. And now the challenge is going to be keeping things interesting and keeping this going until Kenny Omega is ready to come back. Now, Kenny Omega could start making appearances on TV next month. He doesn't have to wrestle. You know, he may not physically be ready to wrestle for a few more months. I don't know what his status is going to be there. But if they do want to keep him off TV until he's ready to come back, there's no telling when we're going to see him back on TV. It could be in January, February, March. We don't know. When he comes back, that's where the story moves on to the next chapter. That's where the story takes a turn, and they set things up for the eventual showdown, which will be Omega and the Bucks against Cole, Fish, and O'Reilly. I mean, that's what this has to be building to. I don't know if it'll be a blood and guts match or just, you know, a traditional six-man tag, but that should be the goal here. Revolution even feels too early for that. I almost think Double or Nothing in May. But again, we're still very early in this story. Hangman and Danielson 2 next week is going to be great. They were talking about that as they went off the air, the big rematch. Danielson has not missed. Since coming to AEW, he has not missed. In fact, this entire year, going back to WWE at the beginning of the year and everything he did this year, and wait until you see my top 15 matches of 2021, which is coming up very soon. I will have that countdown for you. And he makes a number of appearances on that list because that's the kind of year that this guy had. He does not miss. And since coming into this company, whether it's Omega, whether it's Hangman, whether it's Eddie Kingston, whether it's Miro, whether it's Minoru Suzuki, Danielson has been on point every single time. And next week, I don't expect that to be any differently. I think that match next week is going to be great. The New Year's Smash Rampage is coming up this Friday night. Cody Rhodes defends his TNT Championship against Ethan Page. We've got Darby Allin one-on-one with Sting in his corner. We had a promo from them tonight. Darby Allin one-on-one against Anthony Bowens with Max Caster in his corner. Penelope Ford and the Bunny. Boy, you talk about programs. I am ready for this to be over. Penelope Ford and the Bunny in a street fight against Ty Conti and Anna Jay. I hope that is the end of this. And we're getting a Technique by Taz segment, where he is going to school us on Hook's new finisher, Red Drum, which is, I only realized the other day, is murder, spelled backwards. Took me a while. But of course, he knows the move quite well, the former Taz mission, so he's going to teach us something about the Taz mission on Friday night. Dynamite next Wednesday debuts on TBS with the rematch for the AEW World Championship, Hangman Page, one-on-one against Bryan Danielson. They didn't say anything about who the judges are going to be. There's going to be three judges for that match. I don't know if they'll announce them in advance on social media or they'll just kind of surprise us. I'm expecting them to be some, you know, wrestling legends they wrangle up. Maybe Bret Hart. You know, maybe we'll get Bret Hart as a judge. So that's next week. Ruby Soho against Jade Cargill in the finals of the TBS title tournament. Lucha Brothers defend the AEW tag team titles against Jurassic Express. And Malakai Black will kill Brian Pillman Jr. So that is the lineup for next Wednesday show. We still only have one match official for Battle of the Belts, which is only a few days after that, January 8th. Battle of the Belts on TNT. Britt Baker defends the AEW women's title against Riho. So I guess whatever other title matches are going to be on that show, it's only an hour long. So we're not going to get every belt defended, but I guess whatever other championship matches are going to be, it will come out of whatever happens on Dynamite on Wednesday, which I assume is why they didn't announce anything new for it tonight. We shall see. But again, on the whole, I thought it was a good show. I had enough fun with it. Not a super show or anything like that. We've had a few super shows from them recently. I wouldn't say this was one of them. Now, I did something a little bit different. I'm going to show you the Twitter poll. I put a thumbs in the middle option, which I was told earlier in the chat, apparently I'm getting some angry replies from certain AEW fans on Twitter who do not like the fact that I put a thumbs in the middle option. I get it from both ends. I get it from the angry WWE fans who argue with me over stupid bullshit, and I get it from the angry AEW fans. And you know what my reaction is to all that? I smile. I love it. I love it because it gets a reaction. It gets a rise out of people. I love it. Let's check the poll and see where we're at. Well, that would be why. That would be why some of them are really upset, because it wasn't an 85% or a 90% positive score. 67% thumbs up, 22% thumbs in the middle, and 11% thumbs down. That is still overall a positive score. I don't know why people would be upset. It just felt like a thumbs in the middle show to me, so I decided to put a thumbs in the middle option. You don't like it? Tough shit. Go suck an egg. It's not my fucking problem. Well, go vote. If you like the show, you can give it a thumbs up. At Solomonster on Twitter is the handle. Yeah, you know, Dr. NXT Scorpio says it is a lose-lose situation. I've come to realize that. It is a very much a lose-lose situation. If you missed it earlier, I will be live on YouTube on Friday night. Probably going to go live at around 10 p.m., which is when Rampage goes on the air. So I'm not going to do, I guess it'll kind of be a little bit of a watch-along, but it's not really about Rampage. It's more about just hanging out with you guys and, you know, hanging out in the live chat, answering your questions, checking in with Rampage periodically. We'll go to midnight and beyond. We had a lot of fun last year. I did it for the first time, and we'll do it all over again this year. We will count down the new year into 2022. And so again, 10 p.m. on Friday night, come on by the channel and join me. I hope I will be able to see you there for that. I hope. All right. We had a lot of messages coming in here. So I will read your messages here. If you got questions, comments about the show tonight, the Tony Storm stuff, whatever it might be, we will hang out here for a little bit and read your super chats. Scroll back here. Boy, we got a whole bunch of them, don't we? I like it. Hit that like button. That's right. Hooligrim didn't know what to do with himself tonight. He goes, I better go hang out with the Solemn Monster. His boy is not on tonight. Well, I'm happy that Hooli is here with us in the chat. And yes, hit that thumbs up button. Where are we at right now? Where are we at? Oh, we could do better than that. We could do better than that. Hit that thumbs up. Hey, Nayef Alsafar. Thank you for the $4.99. Griga joining us tonight with the super chat. Del Fuego. No stream for me. I am there live. I did see that. I hope maybe he'll check in and let us know what he thought about being there live. Tuxedo T Servo. $5 super chat. Clearly the problem with Tony was not enough pies to the face. Seriously, WWE takes it as a challenge when someone seems a can't-miss talent. Brian Becerra, $15 super chat. Great to see JR back and cancer-free. Do you see Tony Storm being all elite down the line? I think it's probably very likely we will see her at some point. Again, Tony Khan would be a fool not to, you know, when he's legally able to, check in with her and see if she's interested in coming on by. Yeah, who mentioned, Bash? Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard from Bulu. I know Bulu lost his father a few weeks ago. Bulu, I hope he's doing well, wherever he may be. Nick Grosso, $9.99 super chat. How can WWE waste a talent like Toni Storm? Creative malpractice, and good on her for knowing her worth. Next year, I say she will be all elite. And again, just to jump on that for a second again, we may come to find out that there was also another reason that Toni Storm had to leave when she did. And again, I hope everything on the home front is okay. That does not excuse the way that she was booked on television over these last few months. That changes nothing, regardless of what her reasoning was for leaving today. I just want to make that clear. Jared M., look at this, with the Hardy Monster Super Chat here. You talk about people we'll probably end up seeing in AEW next year. There you go. There's one of them right there. But Nick Grosso says, I just read Nick's. Loki Agatho, $10 super chat. Going to be a great night. The Solo Monster, a great Dynamite, Red Dragon reunion, and a Toni Storm rant incoming. Well, I hope you got what you were looking for. I only speak the truth when I talk about this stuff. You know, you guys know I don't blow smoke up your asses. So when I get upset, when I see talent being misused and abused or just not being used the right way and being wasted, and then being released. And again, in this case, she apparently made the decision herself. But that doesn't change what has happened with her over these last 5 months. There's no excuse for it. It should be called out. And you have people out there in WWE land on social media who will make every excuse in the book for this company. They don't draw a paycheck from them. You would think that they're on the payroll for Vince McMahon. And if they speak out of turn, they're going to lose their paycheck. I don't know why these people feel like they can't admit when talent is being misused or is not being used to its full potential, somehow it's their fault. Well, they weren't good enough. They didn't get over. There's a lot of brain damage out there, unfortunately, on social media. I see it every day. A lot of brain damage out there. Food Hive says, send Veer. Who the fuck is Veer? Well, that says it all, doesn't it? You tell me. RJS, $4.99 super chat. First time being able to catch live. Hi, Solo Monster. Hello, RJ. Where do you think the Adam Cole Red Dragon story is going? I believe it is going to a UE Elite battle showdown at some point. So they'll tease dissension between Cole and O'Reilly, but in the end, I think they will be united. I think that until Kenny Omega comes back, they can tease problems between Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly, but do I think they're going to split and they're going to have a long feud again? No. I think it's just a tease and there'll be some dissension, but then they will unite. And then we'll see the two factions battle it out. Demi Cami CJ, Red Dragon coming out to Dance Away and then coming out with Adam Cole was awesome. And feels so damn right, was marking out like crazy. The Mount Vernon Kid, the Alpha, $5 super chat. Hey, Solemn Monster. If I can't make the next stream, just want to say have a happy new year. Happy new year to you as well. But my question is, how shocked were you to see Colin Delaney? I was very shocked. Again, it's one of those things I look and I'm like, whoa, I had totally forgotten about that guy. But I guess, you know, in that era, you know, he was sort of the 1-2-3 kid of that era, right? Of the WWE version of ECW. James Cooper, $4.99. Thanks for all the content. In your opinion, who is the most underappreciated wrestler in the last decade? My vote is Cesaro. You know, he'd be pretty high up on the list. I feel like there's been so many. You talk about underrated or underappreciated, underutilized. I feel like we've seen a whole bunch this year in WWE, whether it's Keith Lee and some of the women that they've let go. Tony Storm. Of the decade, Cesaro would be pretty high up on that list. I mean, he goes back to 2011, 2012, probably in WWE. And he's had success. I mean, there's no doubt he's had success. He's been a tag team champion. He's held some gold. He won the Andre Battle Royal that one year. But they could have done so much more with him. And the fact that we never got that match with Lesnar, and they never had a proper ending to the finish of his alliance with Paul Heyman. You know, the way they gave up on that story is criminal. They should have played that out. You could have gotten at least one pay-per-view match out of Cesaro against Lesnar. We never got it. Joseph Brooks, buy, rent, or sell on who deserved a Royal Rumble win more, Kurt Angle, Chris Jericho, or CM Punk? I feel like I answered a question like that before, like a week or two ago. I would say who deserved a Royal Rumble win more? You know, when Punk was hot, you know, Punk winning the Rumble, kind of like Brian, when Brian was hot, that 2014 Rumble that he wasn't even in. I probably would go, Punk, Angle, and then Jericho. Jericho would be at the bottom for me. If I had to rank them. Hey, Jordan Hitchner just became a Sound Off legend. I don't know if he just became a member or if he upgraded his membership, but thank you, Jordan. Welcome to the family, just in time for the new year. Happy New Year. Drew Johnson, AEW, bring in Danhausen. Well, Danhausen has a broken leghausen, so when his leg is all healed up, I think we probably will see him in AEW. Rodimus Prime with a $20 super chat. Good show tonight. I popped hard when CM Punk called MJF an even bigger waste of con money than Tim Tebow. Wow. That said, Happy New Year. Rodimus, you've been a big supporter of these streams. I hope you have a great new year. You'll join on Friday. Stop by if you can Friday night. Let's see. Joseph Brooks. If the first Hell in a Cell is the best... What is he saying? If the first Hell in a Cell is the best Hell in a Cell... Brett against Owen was the best cage match. 1992 War Games was the best War Games. What was the best Elimination Chamber? I actually enjoyed the one that Bray Wyatt won the WWE Championship. I think that was 2017. It was 2017 because that was going into WrestleMania 33 when he had that horrible fucking match with Randy Orton. That might be my personal favorite, honestly. I really enjoyed that one. They redid the chamber for that one. They put mats down and stuff, but I just remember that being an excellent match. You know what, though? I probably still have to go with the original. I might go original in 2002 and then the one in 2017. That might be how I rank them. It's hard to go against the original, though. Because the original in Madison Square Garden, the Shawn Michaels one, was excellent. Lover of all horror, $4.99. Eddie Kingston's reaction to seeing Jericho was my exact reaction to Brandi Rhodes' promo with Dan Lambert. Keep up the great work, Sala Monster. Food Hive. I am loving what AEW is doing with the women. Marcus the Entertainer says Charlotte was sandbagging Tony in this feud. Dorian Moore, $2 Super Chat. AJ debut in NXT was November 9, 2019. Yes, I had forgotten all about that. When I said the other day that AJ just debuted in NXT last week, he did have a very brief appearance a couple of years ago. It was so brief, I forgot the whole thing. Old Dirty Sausage, $5 Super Chat. Solid show tonight, even though as soon as Lambert and Brandy came, I immediately turned the channel. The main event was great, though. Rizzo. Do you think it's telling the wrestlers WWE gives their releases? Shawn Spears and Tony Storm were granted their releases pretty quickly. Other talent like Luke Harper and Mysterio had to wait. Yes, yeah, Spears is one who got in there right under the wire. I think it was right after him that they stopped. So for him, I think it was just luck. I don't think it was. You don't need to read anything more into that than that. At that point, he got lucky. He asked for it at the right time. I'm sure they had nothing for him. He got it. After that, people who were a little higher up on the card, they weren't going to just let them walk. So he got very lucky. Dry chicken without flavor. Hey, Sala Monster, after hearing the news of Toni Storm granted her release, I'm starting to feel bad for Triple H. Well, brick by brick, piece by piece, you know, they're tearing down a lot of what he built up over all those years. And a lot of the people who were kind of Triple H guys, that kind of nucleus of people, you know, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens. There are a few of them who are on the main roster still who have had success. But then you look at the last few years and boy, it is glaring the way that they have just tried to fucking tear down almost everything that he has helped build. It speaks volumes, I think, to his position right now in the company. You know, I know he's been out of the loop because of the heart issue, heart attack, whatever it was. But they are slowly erasing his legacy. Nobody can tell me otherwise. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing. And a lot of it, I think, frankly, has to do with the fact that he was not able to hold AEW at bay. Right? I mean, in their eyes, in Vince McMahon's eyes, it should have been very easy for their third string show to hold back this new wrestling show, and they couldn't do it. And I really do believe, without sitting at the dinner table with them and knowing for sure, that Vince McMahon probably looked at that and lost some respect for him and said, boy, you know, you had one job. You had one job. That was the purpose of NXT on USA, 2 hours, right? Just hold back AEW, and they couldn't do it. And I think in some ways that soured Vince McMahon on Triple H in that role. Maybe he felt, you know, this guy doesn't have it. People talk for years, Triple H one day is going to, he's the heir apparent. He's going to take over from Vince McMahon. No, he's not. I don't believe that anymore. I don't believe that at all. I think Nick Khan will take over before Triple H will. I think he lost a lot of respect for him because of that. Level of all horror, $4.99 Super Chat. Kingston to Jericho is what CM Punk was to Triple H. I don't need to face you. You need to face me. Food Hive. Brandy is 2 for 2 with the who the hell told you it was open mic night bitch promos. I popped loud when she said it. Paul Hamilton. Again, brother, that 50 bomb. Thank you, sir. Hoping Toni Storm will land somewhere she will be appreciated. She is talented, a good worker, and hot. Well, there you go. Toni Storm is a very attractive woman. Juice Robinson is a lucky guy. Food Hive. Cody said on Sammy's vlog that they're doing something different with his character, and we are in for a wild ride. I am excited to see him as an anti-hero. Vicky in the chat says, who is going to be part of the WWE 2K video game? At this point, nobody. If I'm one of the developers on WWE 2K, I'm throwing my shit down and walking out. Like, I don't need this shit. I mean, how can you possibly put a roster together? They're cutting people left and right. People are asking to leave. I mean, what is that roster even going to look like by the time the game comes out? You're going to have Randy Orton, Roman Reigns, and that's it. It's going to get very boring. The Mount Vernon kid, Thunder Rosa, was X-23, Wolverine's clone daughter. Well, you know more about that than I do. I just saw the Wolverine claws, and I said she looked cool. Jamin John, is Jericho's undisputed title run underwhelming? Yes, of course. Rojo Bear 24, Thunder Rosa dressed up as X-23, Wolverine's daughter. Oh, here come the corrections. Here come the corrections. I have apparently dropped the ball here on my Marvel reference. I'm going to be correct. Thank you, Rojo Bear. Marcus the Entertainer. Mercedes Martinez is a great person to pair with Jade. Jade can sit under the learning tree. Jamin John, are you looking forward to the Batman next March? I am. I saw the trailer. I saw the trailer for the Batman with... what's the guy's name? Pattinson. Robert Pattinson. It looked good with the Riddler and everything. It looked good. This Riddler is more sinister, not as over the top as Jim Carrey was all those years ago. So it looks good. I'll hopefully be seeing that when that comes out in March. I think March is when it comes out. Dried chicken without flavor. Would this be AEW's good opportunity to bring back Paige Van Zandt to be part of the Men of the Year Cody Rhodes storyline? Brandy against Paige feud. I'd rather see Brandy against Paige Van Zandt than I would Brandy against Dan Lambert. I was kind of thinking that Paige Van Zandt was going to be making more appearances, and we haven't seen her in weeks. Sophie Dofi with the $2 super chat. Thank you for the love. I appreciate it. JD is good people. Don't be hating on JD. Samoan fan 101, WWE fan, say let it play out, and then Tony wants out. Yeah, well, that's what all the WWE fans love to say. Let it play out. Let it play out, guys. You know what Toni Storm's problem was? You know what her problem was? She didn't let it play out. You gotta let it play out. There's a payoff coming. You just gotta be patient. Ryan Spies. Jade is winning the tournament and then losing the belt to beloved babyface Brandi Rhodes. Do not speak that evil into existence. What's wrong with you? What is wrong with you? James Hollins, any interest in CM Punk against Colt Cabana? just for the laughs, yeah. I just feel like it would be the awkwardness would almost make it worth it. Food Hive, the mist affected Cody. He has not worn a suit since. Well, it's too bad the mist couldn't make the neck tattoo go away. Hashway, thank you for the 50 from earlier. We're live, pal. Like I said before, you are the only man I could listen to for straight 3 hours. Happy New Year, in case I wasn't on the stream on Friday. Thank you for all your work. No questions, just appreciation. Well, Hashway, I appreciate you. I know that you are in a different time zone, and he's always on these streams. He's always showing love. And I appreciate you, brother. I really do. Hulkling 93, $10 super chat. I saw a picture of London and Kendrick with the label Most Underrated Tag Team. Are they, in your opinion, or are they rated just fine? Rosa versus Mercedes equals authenticity. London and Kendrick, I think to some degree they were underrated. I think they were. They were a very good tag team. They could have had more success than they did. Of course, don't ever forget the Scramble match, where Brian Kendrick, for a brief few seconds, was the WWE champion. I don't remember what year that was. That 2009, maybe? When they did that Scramble. Those Scramble matches were so fucking dumb. I was so happy when they did away with them, but I will never forget the moment they put the Chiron up on the bottom of the screen, the lower third, Brian Kendrick, new WWE champion. Rizzo, $10 super chat. My favorite sound-off episodes are always the prediction ones. Can't wait for your predictions for the wrestling world in 2022. One of mine is, sadly, I think WWE folds NXT UK. I hope I am wrong. EpsilonSama.UndisputedEra, new AEW name, Indisputed Age. No. Jared M, $25 super chat. Don't care how cringe Brandy was tonight, but she is a total smoke show. Easy there, Jared. Easy there, brother. Easy there, big thumb. Oakley 93. Solomonster, if you're getting shit from both sides, it just means you're objective, which is not a bad thing. Respect for you 24/7, 365. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah, I like to think when you're pissing off people on both sides, that means you're doing something right. No. I wear it as a badge of honor. It doesn't bother me in the least. Chris Underwood, $4.99 super chat. 8 Broken Skull IPAs into the night. Holy shit. How are you conscious? You should have added a couple of zeros onto that super chat. Take advantage of you here with these 8 Broken Skull IPAs. Glad I can close the night out with this stream. Have a happy and safe new year. You too. You might want to avoid a 9th Broken Skull IPA. Or at least, you know, wait until New Year's. We're going to be drinking on Friday night, so you can bust them open on the Friday night stream. Samoan Fan 101, my favorite Elimination Chamber match was the 2005 match. You should have named who was in them, because I don't remember who was in them. I mean, there's been so many of them. I don't even recall who was in the 2005 Elimination Chamber. I have got no idea. Joseph Brooks, do you think that Montez Ford against Roman match from a few weeks ago was a test for Montez, and if so, how did he do? I said on the podcast I thought it was a test, absolutely, and I thought he passed with flying colors. I think Montez Ford is going to be a huge single star. I picture him as a heel. Him and Bianca Belair together at some point, both as heels. They can be at the top of the food chain in that company one day. Holy shit, JM dropping $100 bomb here at almost midnight. Hey, Solomonster. Thunder Rosa was X23. Just kidding. Just showing appreciation, brother. Happy New Year in advance. Wow. Look at JM coming in hot here towards the end of the stream here. JM, thank you, sir. Thank you for the love. You know, it was a slower month because there were no pay-per-views this month. We had War Games, which I guess technically was a pay-per-view, but not really. But there was no big WWE pay-per-view or AEW pay-per-view. And boy, you guys are making up for it tonight with all this support. Jay, I hope you have a happy New Year. All the best in 2022. Nothing but health and happiness. Because if you don't have health, then guess what? You don't got shit. Sophie Dofi with the $2. They don't have any more faces to face Charlotte. Yeah, they got a real problem. They don't have any faces to face Roman Reigns. You think it's a problem just in the women's division? Yeah, they got problems up and down the roster. On SmackDown and on Raw. Because after Drew McIntyre and Brock Lesnar, who do you got? Who do you got to believably challenge Roman Reigns? Who has been positioned, if Roman is still the champion? Who has been positioned to challenge next and step into that role? To challenge for the Universal title? Even if Roman loses the title and Drew McIntyre at WrestleMania ends up as the champion, who's the top heel? You go right back to Roman Reigns? Who's the top heel? They got big problems. Same thing with the WWE title on Raw. They have done a very poor job of setting people up for these positions. That's why they keep going back to the same people over and over again. Big E. You know, Big E, he's doing the best he can. But, you know, his run so far has been kind of underwhelming. And it's not because he's done anything wrong. It's just, you know, he won the championship in a random cash-in on Raw. It wasn't like a big moment at SummerSlam or anything like that. And he's bounced from opponent to opponent. He got you know, destroyed by Roman Reigns at Survivor Series. And so I've said on the podcast, and this pissed a few people off, I would be very surprised if he went into WrestleMania as the champion. You know, he may chase and challenge for it. But I could see WWE taking that title off, and maybe not at day one this weekend, but before WrestleMania, absolutely. Because otherwise, unless they're just going to put Lashley back in the ring with him, who is there for him to challenge at WrestleMania? Again, this is the problem that you have. They have not done a good enough job of setting these people up. Where are the challengers? Where are the believable, exciting challengers for these championships? Where are they? Oz and Glorious, regarding Triple H, Julie Hart called it in 1998. I just can't feel bad for the guy. Well, 1997. You were close. She did ream him out in the hallway, wrestling with shadows. And Triple H, all he could do was stand there and look at the floor. He couldn't even make eye contact with the woman. That's true. Don Juan, how do I become as good-looking as yourself? Brother, I think you need to be aiming a little bit higher. You're setting the bar very low. I don't know what to tell you. David Dubel, dropping a $1.99. Thank you, David. Sophie, here comes more Charlotte versus Sasha matches. Yeah, I got Sasha Banks, pegged to win the Royal Rumble match right now. It's early, but my early prediction is Sasha Banks wins the Women's Royal Rumble match to challenge for the championship at WrestleMania. You know? Then again, we don't know when Bayley is coming back. Maybe Bayley sneaks in there if she's ready to come back. I think the Rumble might be a little early for her, though, with her injury. Jamin John Goldberg, 98 or 06, wrestling machine Kurt Angle. I mean, how do you answer a question like that? He wasn't nearly as over as Goldberg was in 98. You know what? I would go Goldberg 98. I would pick Goldberg 98 over Kurt Angle 06, personally. Because I could pick Kurt Angle in almost any other year. I love Kurt Angle in 2002. Like, 2002, 2003 was like peak Kurt Angle. And then he had some really good years in TNA. But Goldberg in 98, when he was really at his hottest, on TV, he was white hot as an attraction. He was fun. He was a lot of fun to watch Goldberg go in there and fucking smash people. One of the most fun moments on Nitro was the night that he won the U.S. title from Raven. I challenge you, go back and watch that match and watch the moment that he speared Raven the first time. Watch the crowd the first time he speared Raven in that match. The way they all just rise at the same time. Like, it was just fun back then. You know, the fact that Goldberg is still doing what he was doing in 98, still doing it in 2021. I mean, that's a different story, but 98 Goldberg was a lot of fun to watch. Dry chicken without flavor, AEW women's tag titles. I am inevitable like Thanos. No, we don't need women's tag titles yet. They bring in some more of those women I mentioned earlier, though. I may be singing a different tune later in the year, but right now they do not need women's tag team titles. No. Perk Angle. That's right. That's what I'm talking about. In TNA, Perk Angle. Perk Angle was on another level. That guy was just, everybody was here. Perk Angle was way up here. I met Kurt in person during that Perk Angle phase, and even when I met him, like, he had that look, that faraway, glassy look in his eyes, like he wasn't all there. But boy, he could go in the ring. I don't know what he was on or what he was doing, but that fucking guy could go when that bell rang. Chris Manson, $5 super chat, excited for the New Year's stream. It should be fun. Anyway, Sasha winning the Rumble, there's no other obvious choice other than Belair. Yeah, and I only say Sasha because Bianca won it this year, I guess. But Bianca also, that's the story. I mean, we'll see if Liv Morgan shocks the world on Saturday, but to me, the match to do at WrestleMania is Bianca getting her belt back from Becky Lynch, but she doesn't have to win the Rumble to do it. JM again, man, I don't know what else to say. That $100 bomb, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Samoan fan, here's the 2005 match, the Elimination Chamber. It says Jericho, Benoit, Edge, Triple H, Batista, and Orton. I still only vaguely remember them. Again, they all kind of blend together for me. I really have to go back. I'm sure if I go back and I watch part of it, it'll all come back to me. But there's a period there, like 2005 to like 2010, where, I don't know, like a lot of that stuff, it's just sort of, when I think back to some of those matches, the Money in the Banks and the Elimination Chambers, they just sort of blend together. V, I see you in the chat. V Infuso, $5 super chat. How big is Batista's dog? Shouldn't you be asking Sean Oliver these questions? Andrew Lima, hope you had a great holiday. Does AJ Styles sign with AEW after his WWE contract expires, or is he done and moving to a backstage in Legends role? I don't know what he's going to want to do when his contract is over, but no, I don't see him going to AEW. He had a chance to go to AEW. He chose to re-sign with WWE because at this stage of his career, you know what? For him, it kind of makes sense. It does. I mean, he's got a lot of friends and people he could work with and have great matches with in AEW, but he's got a sweet deal going. And to be honest with you, you know, for all the people we can sit here and talk about that WWE misused and stars that came in from other promotions like TNA, AJ Styles is not one of those people. AJ Styles completely bypassed NXT, which almost nobody did at that point. He bypassed NXT. He went right to the main roster. He had that debut in the Royal Rumble. He was challenging for the championship against Roman Reigns within a few months of him debuting in the company. He beat John Cena clean. He was a world champion. He's held intercontinental titles, U.S. titles, tag team titles. You know, I mean, he's had a good run. He really doesn't have a whole lot to complain about. So him staying where he is, he's already in his 40s. Probably making good money. He doesn't have a lot of years left. I think this is probably his last big contract. So, no, I don't see him in AEW. Willie Mantic, 80. Dropping the $20. Hey, Maz, I see you in the chat. You made it on time. Yeah, we're still here. Willie Mantic says, I believe I've been listening to you since December of 2011, episode 198, when I came, believe is 10 years now. Best wrestling podcast. Wow, holy shit, that's a long time. That is a long time. Episode 198. That's going back. We're doing episode 737 this weekend, so. Bob the Builder. Are you an Observer Hall of Fame voter? Buy or sell on the more influential wrestler, Punk or Orton? I am not an Observer Hall of Fame voter. Perhaps one day I will be. Right now I am not. I did see that debate with Meltzer. He was going back and forth with people on Twitter. I mean, again, you say influential, right? I look at influential and I think Punk is probably going to end up being more influential to people than Randy Orton will be. I mean, that's just my take on it. Now, if you're comparing careers in terms of accomplishments and success and business, then I think you go at Randy Orton. But you use the word influential. And if we're talking influential, I think you're talking CM Punk over Randy Orton. Marcus the Entertainer, how will they do a 30 women's Royal Rumble? I mean, they release any more people like they did this year. They'll be lucky if they get 30 men. It'll be Veer, Veer, and Veer. They'll have to keep running Veer out there over and over again. I don't know. They'll probably call a few women up from NXT. They'll make one appearance and they'll go right back down. You'll get like Cora Jade in there. Mandy Rose will come back for a night. Stuff like that. Dr. NXT Scorpio. No matter how bad WWE creative is, it is still not as bad as Katie Vick. But it's a very, very close second. I'm watching old segments and clips and matches from 02 to 08 instead of watching the current product itself these days. You are not alone. I hear from people like that every single day. Dorenzo, $7. Hey, Solomonster, hope you had a good Christmas. I did. It was a good weekend. I hope you got what you wanted. Juan Bermudez, how can WWE create believable faces and contenders to Charlotte and Roman when they keep making them look like uncool fools and weaklings? Just answered your own question. They can't. That's why everybody looks like a fucking geek on these shows. It's all in the booking. You know what actually makes me cringe? You know, they try to portray this NXT 2.0 relaunch as like, oh, it's like so cool. It's catering to the younger demographic and like it's hip and it's cool, right? And they have that voiceover guy every week when they preview the NXT 2.0 show for that week. And he runs down the card and then he goes, yeah, it's like that. And I'm like what? Is that supposed to be cool? I mean, he sounds like the fucking father who's trying to be cool for his son. And I just kind of, I put my head in my hands like, oh God, the hair on the back of my neck stands up when I hear that. Yeah, it's like that. It's like what? You put fucking Grayson Waller on TV, you fucking morons. You're not cool. Nobody thinks you're cool. Your show is not cool. Stop trying to be cool. Yeah, it's like that. Fuck off. Sophie Dophie. Will we never get Brock against Bobby? Gotta keep hope alive. As long as they're working for the same company, there's always a chance. But if it was gonna happen, it would have happened by now. Every month, every year that goes by, the light dims just a little bit more. Oz and Glorious. Apologies. Did Wrestling with Shadows come out in 97 or 98? Looking forward to the New Year's stream. All right. Well, you're technically you're right. Okay. I was thinking of it in terms of when the footage was shot. That was the night in Montreal. But you're right. The movie itself came out in 98. That moment, though, happened in 97. You are technically correct. Calling all marks in the chat says, I was over Hook the second he no-sold the Steiner driver. Yeah, Steiner did have it first. I called it the Rikishi driver, but Steiner did it first. You know, and I made that comment too when I reviewed Rampage last week, and I loved Hook's, you know, match. I thought I enjoyed it more than I did his first match. But I said, you know, I really wish he wouldn't have no-sold the move. And then people pointed out that it was kind of an homage because Taz did that in ECW, and so it was like the son following the father. Be that as it may, I don't think that's a move that you should be popping up at. Unless you're a big guy with a thick neck. Taz has, like, no neck. Taz walks around like this. This is Taz. Taz looks like Man-at-Arms. Remember Man-at-Arms from He-Man who had no fucking neck? King Kong Bundy had no neck. He looked like Humpty Dumpty. You know, but Hook looks like a normal human being. He's got normal proportions. I wish that he wouldn't have kicked out of the move, but I guess that was the reason why they did. So. Oz and Glorious also says, will Roman be going MIA soon, considering WWE's new testing protocols or lack thereof? You know, before we go off on the protocols, I think we need some more information. I've heard so many conflicting things that they are testing, but now it's just different. They're doing what the NFL is doing. It sounds to me, from what I've read, like they're following the lead of some of these other sports leagues like the NFL and the NBA. I'm going to try to get some more information about it. On the surface, it sounds absolutely ridiculous. But I think it's just a case where, yeah, maybe there's a vaccination exemption. Again, we don't know. That would at least make sense to some degree if there was that exemption. But if they're just flat out saying, you know what, we're not going to test anymore, you do it if you want, well, then that's just fucking dumb. So, do I think Roman is going to go away? If Roman at any point feels that his health is being put in jeopardy, then yeah, I think he'll go away. But no, I don't think that this change is not going to, you know, force him to hibernate or go home again like he did last year. I don't think that's what is going on. Paul Heyman, $5 super chat, with Ring of Honor on hiatus until possibly April. And you see Chris Dickinson coming to AEW and having a long career there. You had to get one in before the year was over, right? You couldn't just let sleeping dogs lie, right? He's been behaving himself now for a while. And then he realized, oh shit, it's one of the last streams of the year. I got to get one in on Solomonster before we end the year. Chris Dickinson, I believe, is still healing a pretty gruesome leg injury. So, not doing anything right now, but could he go to AEW? You know what? Chris Dickinson is somebody who I think would actually get lost in the shuffle in AEW. Because to me, it just feels like they're grabbing guys that already have a big name. You know, I don't know, Bray Wyatt may still end up coming in at some point. Who knows? If Chris Dickinson goes in, I think he ends up being like Tony Nese, where he's, you know, sitting in the crowd. He's sitting in the crowd each week watching other people's matches. I actually don't think this would be a good time for him to come into AEW. Dorenzo, the yeah, it's like that you say is on NXT 2.0 is basically what Johnny Ace is saying when he pulls the budget cut. Bullshit. Is that what he says when he calls these people up on the phone?
Yeah, it's like that.
Then he just hangs up. Dry chicken without flavor. Private Party, Santana and Ortiz, Jurassic Express, Best Friends, and Dark Order need tag team trios gold. Bring more tag team tournaments in AEW. And I believe you're now all caught up on your super chats. Wow, that was a lot. That was a lot. But as I tell you every week, I read each and every single one that you guys send to me. And I do appreciate the love. Where are we on the like front here? Oh, we can do better than that. Come on. We're approaching 500. I'd be very disappointed if we don't hit that tonight. So if you are new, you like the Johnny Ace impression? You like the Johnny Ace? It's not that hard to do. It's easier than the Josh Matthews one. It actually don't sound all that dissimilar. Josh Matthews always sounded like he had some kind of foreign object stuffed up his ass, like he sat down on a goddamn pine cone.
Oh my God!
You know, he's trying to shit it out. Johnny Ace is very simple. It's just,
budget cuts.
It's not really that hard. Paul Heyman with yet another super chat. Was Ric Flair's issues with Ring of Honor also a factor that led to ROH's downfall? No, I don't believe one had to do with the other. That was more an issue with Kerry Silken. The sale of Ring of Honor to Sinclair happened probably about 10 years ago, right? I think it might have been 10 years ago this year. So the issues they're having now have nothing to do with the issues. Well, Ric Flair really did fuck them over. He was supposed to make more appearances. They paid him, I think, something like $40,000, and he didn't fulfill those obligations. There's been articles done about other people that Ric Flair fucked over as well. There's a whole thing about Ric Flair and high spots. I mean, you can read all about it. There was an old Grantland article when Grantland was still a thing on their website. And it really laid everything out as far as all of his money woes and tax problems over the years. Yeah, Rick hasn't really been good with his money. And unfortunately, it did hurt Ring of Honor, but that was many, many years ago. King Bling Blah dropping $4.99. TikTok overtook Google and YouTube. People said that would never happen. Could AEW overtake? Does that mean, by the way, that I should get on TikTok? Because I've avoided that like the plague. I'm trying to first like really build up something on Instagram. I've neglected Instagram for so long, and now people are like, "Oh, TikTok." It's too many of these social platforms. Could AEW overtake WWE, or is WWE too big? Yeah, they're not going to overtake WWE. You're talking business-wise. You're talking, you know, dollars and cents and numbers-wise. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. AEW may grow and expand and get bigger. They may go public one day. That probably will be their downfall. I feel like you could trace WWE's downfall back to when they went public. I hope AEW grows. I expect them to grow next year. I expect them to get even more money on their next TV contract. But bigger than WWE, no. That's not going to happen. Tuxedo T Servo, Red Bastion. What are you trying to do here? Why are you putting it in quotes? You're confusing me. Just spell the guy's fucking name, for Christ's sake. Tuxedo, you're better than that. You're confusing me. Rick Bassman trains Sting. Okay, so that's, I was right. I said, I thought Rick Bassman was the one who trained Sting, because I know he was the one who gave him and Warrior their first, like, big break. So yeah. Okay, that confirms what I already thought. TikTok is nothing but people twerking. Well, you guys don't need to see me twerking, so we'll leave that alone then. Eddie A, $5 super chat. Where do you think they'll go with Wardlow? I think he's going to be a great monster babyface down the line. Brother, I've been saying that for the past year and a half. You are absolutely right. Wardlow is going to be a monster babyface. It's coming very soon. They've been building it for a long time, teasing it, but now we're getting closer and closer to that happening. Drew says AEW may never be bigger than WWE. They'll just have to settle for being better. Tuxedo says, I was giving you the ring name in quote. I thought you were talking about Red Bastien, who was a very famous wrestler. I don't know what he has to do with Sting. So that was why I was confused. John the Baptist, 87, is Hook the only guy better than their dad? Would you say Randy Orton comes off as more of a badass than Cowboy Bob? I don't know. Some people might say yes. Dry chicken without flavor. A short feud between CM Punk and Matt Hardy. I have no interest in that. I don't know where you pulled that out from. I have no interest in that. Jared M, $5. Do you think the Owen Hart tournament can be a way to bring Brett and Martha back together? You know, I would like to think it is. It's sad that the last I knew, they hadn't spoken in years. I don't even know if Brett has seen his niece and nephew. They had a falling out many years ago, I think, over her lawsuit or something. And so I don't know that they've spoken in years, and I'm not sure if this is going to bring them together or not. I know she'll be there a double or nothing to present the winners with the trophies of the tournaments, but I think Brett should be there too. Brett could be there and just have no interaction with her. That would be kind of weird. I'd like to see them kind of reunite, but I don't know how deep the fractures go, you know. I mean, I speak as somebody who, in my own family, on my father's side, when there's a falling out between family members, it's very hard to put that back together, especially the longer time goes on. You know, is a wrestling tournament going to bring them back together? I don't know. It'd be nice, though. It would be nice. Yes, Boomerang. How could I be so dense? The Rock. The Rock. More of a badass than Soul Man Rocky Johnson? Yeah, of course. He's The Rock. I would say he overtook his father. I would say Roman Reigns and Sika, right? I think it's safe to say that Roman Reigns has overtaken Sika on the badass scale for all and the success scale in wrestling. Kane said, didn't Brett call her square-headed? Yeah, he had some kind of weird insight. Was it square-headed? Not square-jawed. Maybe it was square-headed. Yeah, Brett has said stuff about her even in recent years. I'm sure they're still on bad terms. I don't think there's any repairing that. Paul Heyman, you hear Alberto Del Dipshit talking about going to AEW. Well, he can talk all he wants to. It's not going to happen. Drew says, would it be Paul White over Andre? As the son being more badass than the father. No, Andre in his heyday when he was younger and he can move and he was nimble. Andre was fucking great. Go back and watch some of his older matches from like the 70s and stuff. Andre can move. All right, so we do a little something here on these streams if you're new here. And Hula Grimm is absolutely right. Hit that fucking like button. Hit that like button. Smash it. Pretend it's Alberto Del Rio. Pretend that the thumbs up button is Vince McMahon. You just heard that Toni Storm decided to go and request her release to leave the company. Pretend that you just found out that Karrion Kross and Keith Lee were released from WWE. And that thumbs up button is Vince McMahon, his fucking melted candle face. Smash that like button. But anyway, we do a little something here on these streams at the end. A little something that I call Be the Booker. Be the Booker. Not Booker T. Be the Booker. And we are going to attempt to randomly book a men's and a women's WrestleMania main event match here on the stream. We're going to see what we come up with. What kind of interesting match will we come up with? So we'll start with the men. And let's see where we land here. I see a lot of faces in there. I think I saw Johnny Ace in there somewhere. We land on Kane, the Big Red Machine. And who will Kane be wrestling? Now, if it's 98 Kane, if it's 2000 Kane, to me, that's the best Kane. We've got Kane Kane against Orange Cassidy. An interesting match, but by no means a WrestleMania main event. I'm sorry to all the Orange Cassidy fans out there. That is not the match that I care to see in the WrestleMania main event. And now we will try with the ladies. You know, this is the final Be the Booker of 2021. This is it. This is the last one here. Boy, I hope we end with a good one. Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. I hope we end with a good one. We've got Renee Young. Oh boy. Renee Young one on one with Jacqueline. Look at Jackie. How about that? What do you think? Renee Young and Jacqueline in the WrestleMania main event. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I like Jackie. Jackie's another one you could say underrated. Maybe didn't quite reach the heights that she should have, but no. I cannot in good conscience not ring the buzzer on that one. Zero stars. Or as somebody once said, minus five stars. Magician Sapphire. I got Ruby Soho winning the TBS title. Jade is still too green, and you need a great wrestler to help legitimize the championship as something important. I agree. Do they feel the same way? I don't know. And Jose Citron, or Citron, $4.99 super chat. I just went to the show. Oh, Jose is back. He went to the show. They did the taping for Rampage. No spoilers, but it was one of the best AEW women's matches of all time. Wow. So I assume you're talking about the street fight with Ty Conti and Anna Jay against the Bunny and Penelope Ford. Well, I'll be watching it on mute. I'll have it on in the foreground in front of me as I stream. So I guess we'll have to call the match as we're doing the stream live on Friday night. So that's something to look forward to, I suppose. Don Juan says, Solomonster, my sister said that you're cute and she wants to go on a date with you. I wouldn't mind you being my brother-in-law. Why do I feel like you're using your sister to get to me? It's a little weird. Paul Heyman, if Keith Lee went to AEW, would you put him with Bear Country? No, I would not. And Hashway, I hate to put you on the spot, but how would you book Jon Moxley's return? Nothing that I think he's noting that I think he's coming back as a face. Well, he can't come back as anything other than a face. I mean, at least that first appearance, he's got to be a baby face. He's going to get a hero's welcome when he comes back. So, you know, he's not, it would be crazy to bring him back and on night one have him attack, you know, a baby face. He was headed for a heel turn, though, before he left. So if they want to pick up where they left off, he comes back. He gets the great babyface reaction, and then maybe later that night, right, or the next week or something, then you can have him turn heel. I don't know. You know, a lot of it, I think, depends on if Bryan Danielson is going to remain heel after he loses, and I believe he is losing to Hangman Page next week. If he loses to Hangman and shakes his hand and kind of, and I'd be a little sad if he goes back to being a babyface because he's such a great heel. I think if he goes back babyface, I think the feud they do is Moxley and Danielson. And the story is, you took the spot that belonged to me. Or something to that effect. So, comes back as a babyface, goes heel, feuds with Danielson. We get a Moxley-Danielson feud. See, that I could see that. Now, if Eddie Kingston is in need of help and they want to put Moxley back with him. Imagine Kingston in trouble, being beaten down, being overwhelmed, and you hear the music, and through the crowd comes Jon Moxley, and he just gets this amazing reaction. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could go with, you know, debuting him back on TV. Is it as a surprise, or do you let people know, hey, Jon Moxley is going to be back on TV this week? If it were me, I would save it as a surprise, because I just think a moment like that as a surprise would be. One of those memorable moments. But I think the goal is still the same. I think he ends up going heel. Not long after he comes back. But you can't bring him back on night one as a heel. I mean, that would be stupid. Dry chicken, buy, sell, or rent for the WTF moment. Nia Jax's My Hole. Kenny Omega's 69 promo. Or Roman Reigns' missionary promo. Oh, Roman Reigns, by far. That was a great moment. That was a great moment. Who was he talking about? Was he talking about Edge? No, John Cena. He was talking about John Cena. And how boring he is. He's like missionary position. Just the way he delivered that line was fucking great. Maz, probably not. I don't watch much Stardom. When I hear there's a great Stardom match, I will try to find it and watch it, but I do not watch Stardom. I probably should. I keep hearing that it's the best, not even, you know what, I can't even say the best women's wrestling anywhere in the world. Stardom probably, from everything I hear, is probably some of the best wrestling going on anywhere in the world, and it probably doesn't get talked about enough, but no, I don't watch Stardom. Am I watching Wrestle Kingdom next week? I am. I don't know about night three. That's a few days later. Night one and two, I am going to watch. I don't know when. I'll try to. I'm not waking up in the middle of the fucking night and watching it. But the next morning, I do plan on watching it, and I will review it. I don't know if I'll go live. I don't know what format it'll take. But yes, I will watch Wrestle Kingdom. I will review it. You do not have to worry about that. I'm going to be streaming next Tuesday after New Year's Eve. So I got to figure out, am I doing a Wrestle Kingdom review during the day? Am I going to record it and then upload it? Because that night I'm going to be live with the NXT review. And then the next night is the first TBS Dynamite. And then we'll do the combo SmackDown Rampage stream on Friday, which is going to be the format going forward. We'll do SmackDown and Rampage. And then next Saturday is Battle of the Belts. It's a lot of shit coming up. I will say this, there is a big GCW show later next month at the Hammerstein Ballroom. I will not be there, but I am considering watching it and doing a live review when it's over. So if there's enough interest in my GCW review with the Hammerstein, I might be doing that as well. And we got two WWE pay-per-views. So January is going to be a busy month. That's why you've got to keep it parked right here. If you are not subbed, this would be a great time for you to subscribe to the channel. And make sure you get all the notifications. There it is right there. Boom. You hit the sub button. Ring that bell. Make sure the alerts are on. TonyDX94, do you think that Dynamite lacks structure? I feel like they just fill time on some shows. Maybe have Punk or eventually Heyman book the show. There are some weeks where it feels that way. Not every week, but there are weeks where it does kind of feel like it's just matches that are put together. Usually, though, they are trying to further some kind of a storyline. You know, even tonight, I'm not a fan when they do all these multi-man, 6, 8, 10, 12-man tags on one show. I really don't like that much. But, you know, like the opening match, things broke down on the babyface side. That's leading to a tag team title match next week. The trios match with Eddie Kingston that came after that led to the Jericho return. That's going to lead somewhere. So, I mean, it's not like they're just being done for the sake of being done. I mean, there are stories involved. But they could definitely use some work on some of these shows where they try to shove as much shit as they possibly can in, and they don't give some of these segments time to breathe. It's like on to the next. And that's another thing I think they need to work on next year. So the structure isn't perfect, but, you know, it's still more interesting than what you'll find on a 3-hour Raw. You talk about a show that just feels like they're filling time. That's what Raw has become. Raw has become the challenge of trying to fill 3 hours of television every single week. And if you have a hot product, you might be able to do that. It is the worst when your product is not hot. And they're not hot right now. So when you have a 3-hour show with a product that isn't hot, it's like fucking torture. That's Monday Night Raw. Domination Warrior, NXT is like missionary position. It's like that. Stop. Yeah, it's like that. It's like what? Shut up. Every week with that commercial, I dread it. Yeah, it's like that. NXT 2.0. It's like, what? What are you talking about? They try so hard to be cool. This is Vince McMahon and Bruce Prichard trying to be cool. It's impossible. It can't be done. All right, well, look, I'm all tapped out here. You guys have blown me away with all your super chats. Some great questions, too, in the live chat and the super chats. I appreciate it. All the viewers, some new viewers that we had in tonight, I hope you will join me on Friday night. I'm going to be live again, 10 p.m. When Rampage goes on, I will go on as well. And we'll hang out until midnight and beyond, and we'll dabble a little bit in the spirits, as they say, for the occasion. And we'll ring in the new year. And hit that like button on the way out. Thank you. I got a lot of feedback to the Charlotte Moonsault song. I will not be on American Idol anytime soon, but I'm glad that you enjoyed my Charlotte, the SmackDown champion rendition of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer on episode 736, talking about Charlotte's horrible moonsault. If you missed it, it's not going up on YouTube, so you gotta play the full show on Spotify or something. It's right at the beginning. Ever want to hear me sing? I don't know why you would, but there you go. So again, thank you for joining me tonight. I will see you on Friday. I will keep you guys posted on the top 15 countdown. It might just be part of the podcast on Sunday. You know, outside of the Tony Storm stuff, we'll talk NXT and do predictions for New Year's Evil on Sunday, but there ain't a whole lot else going on. So I will keep you guys posted on all of that. Be well, stay safe. And if I don't see you guys on Friday night, if I don't hear from you before then, I hope you have a very happy new year. 2021 has been an incredible year for the podcast and for the channel. That doesn't happen without you and your support. And I hope I can count on you in 2022 as well. So I will see you guys on Friday night. Until then, take care.